Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host here at the round table with mothers and daughters around the world. Beautiful Saturday morning, another opportunity to serve God. You know, you think about it. Get up in the morning. Why are we awoken? Not just to do nothing. We're awoken to serve, to find out, Father God, what is it that you would have us do for you today? So with that being said, Father God, we just thank you this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for life, thank you for health, and thank you for strength. And Father God, I ask that you touch every mother and daughter around the world. Father, I pray for a renewed mind in each of us, that we will concentrate more on your word and put our faith in your word, knowing that all things are possible through the word. And Father God, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, whom you've sent to demonstrate, to show us, to teach us how the word works when we activate it, when we use it, and when we believe in it. And Father God, this morning with mothers and daughters around the world, we know that we are the center point, the nurturers for the family. No one come into this earth except being born through a mother. And as mothers, we have responsibility to nurture the daughter and the son to create the vision that you have for the family. And Father God, we just ask for your grace and your mercy this morning upon us as we travel through this journey here on earth. And that we keep our hands in your hands and our minds concentrated on your mind and your thoughts through your word, that we may help you fulfill your dream and your reality for your kingdom here on earth. And I want to thank you, as always, for choosing me for this assignment. Couldn't have been chosen for a better assignment. I love it. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, you know, when you know that you're doing what you're supposed to do, even when you're challenged, you know, it gives you the strength to know that, hey, I was chosen to do this. And I don't care how the challenges come, it doesn't matter. Jesus had challenges. He was chosen to come to teach us, you know, and he had challenges. So if we're made in his image, mothers and daughters out there, fathers and sons, we are going to be challenged. So get that. When you get that, you'll be okay. But you also have to get the word and know that he says what? Don't worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep, what you're going to wear. Don't worry. Don't fret. Only believe. And if you believe, you'll find a peace that is beyond any understanding. You know, people, I mean, they probably think you're crazy. Don't she know what's going on around her? Doesn't she know that people are talking about her? Doesn't she know that she doesn't have any money? Doesn't she know? It doesn't matter. What she does know
is what God said. And it's all about timing. And you're going to have to walk this thing on out. You're going to have to believe it on out. It's not going to happen any other way. The more you believe, the less challenges you have. The more you believe, the stronger your faith. The more you believe, the more you trust God. The more you believe, more light is shining upon you. The enemy can't come in the light. Just keep that in mind. The word is the light. The word is the life. So no matter where you are, if you get up in the morning and you decide, you know, Lord, I'm going to take a word. Just take a passage and say, I'm standing on this today. I'm standing on this today. I'm believing this today. You got more light on you. The more light you have on you, the further out the enemy has to stay. His territory is backed up, backed up. Can't get close to you. He cannot get close to you. The less light you have, the closer he is to you, because you have to remember, he's the prince of darkness. He's the prince of darkness. So you don't want to have darkness close to you. You want to have light. The more light you have, just imagine yourself in the center of a circle. The more light you have, the broader that light in that circle, the further back he has to get away from you. So after a while, you can't hear what he's saying. He's yelling and screaming. And it's not like when he's right upon you. And I give an example that when he's right upon you and he's yelling and screaming in your ear and telling you all these things that's going to happen. It's going to happen. Can't happen till you agree with them, but it's going to happen. And you wake up in the middle of the night and you're shaking and shivering, your heart's racing and beating fast, and you're sweating and you're scared and you can't think and you're throwing up. Come on, he's too close to you. You got to get some light on you. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Mothers teaching your daughters how to have faith in God. How to have faith in God. How to increase the light. How to get in the center of peace, the eye of the storm. See, we have to teach these things. When God sent Jesus, he sent Jesus to teach. People was not aware of how to use the power that they had. They didn't have no idea that they could do what Jesus was doing. And when he left, most people couldn't believe they could do that. Even today, most people don't believe they can do it. Because what? They don't have faith in that word. They don't. I look back at my life right now and think, Lord, if I knew what I knew now, my life would have been different. We go in and out of faith on certain things. Some things we believe real heavily on and manifest, and we say, oh, Lord, God came through. No, God didn't come through. You came through. God was always there. His word, when Jesus left, he said, it's finished, it is done. These works I do, you can do even greater work. The work was done. He was finished. I taught you what you can do. I gave you power and authority. All you got to do is use my words, power, and authority in your life in any situation. Speak to the mouth and it'll move. But do we do that? We get so caught up in that fear that we just can't think and we can't breathe and people are talking to you and telling you things. And I remember when so-and-so went through that, and I remember what they said, and you know, you get so caught up into that. You can't, because you'll miss the word of God, I'm telling you, if you do that. So, mothers, when we're talking today, we're talking about how to teach our daughters. How to teach our daughters to have faith in God. But there's one key element to that. You got to know how to do that. You can't teach what you don't know. I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's okay. I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to say what he needs to say when he needs to say it. You cannot teach what you do not know. But there's some good news. And the good news is it's available for you right now today. You can start where you are. Start teaching what you didn't know that you knew that you know now. because she really hadn't concentrated on it. So we're going to talk about that today and just kind of shed some light on that so that you can be like having these aha moments, like, wow, okay, you know, I never thought about it that way. Okay, I do have something I can teach my daughter. We are going to sit down and have this conversation. That's what we're going to talk about today, how to do that. If you think that's interesting, you might want to just text or call your friend and tell them to call in at 347-539-5078. That's 347-539-5078 to listen to the program. Click 1 to join in on the conversation. But to the mothers and daughters out there, I thank you. Appreciate you getting up on Saturday morning. I thank you for being a part of this ministry. We have been out here for a while, yet right now, a lot of people don't know about it. But God is moving, and it's time, he said. It's time. It's time to come out. It's time to travel the world and allow God to speak to mothers and daughters around the world, as he does here on the radio program. Our stimulating topic this morning is mothers teaching their daughters how to trust God. It's our responsibility. Mother, she's your daughter. You are the teacher. A lot of times we want to, when the kids get to school and the daughter, and you said, well, I can relax now, but she's in school, and it's their job to teach her. Oh, no. It is not their job to teach your daughter. The things your daughter needs to know, only you can teach her. There's no teacher. There's no grandmother. There's no aunt, no uncle, no cousin, no friend. Nobody can teach her what her mother can teach her from the same spirit. They can hear the same words from another person. But that mother-daughter connection is one that is not duplicated. That's why when a daughter is not with her mother, raised by someone else, there's a disconnect. There's a dysfunctional part of her in her mind and spirit. She's struggling. She's trying to make it happen. And sure, she may look good. She may have all the degrees and may have the house, the car, the business. She may have all those things in place, but it's that hidden secret that she has of that disconnect, that loneliness, that abandonment question, why, that lingers in her heart, that in the middle of the night that she's laying on her bed and she's crying in her pillow, asking why. Why did my mother not want me? Why did my mother give me away? Why did my mother treat me the way that she treated me? Why? What did I do? Why did my mother sell me as a child? There's so many different situations, but yet the daughter looks good. She responds good to society. But deep in her heart, she's dysfunctional. She's dysfunctional. And those dysfunctions in the rearing of the children, because she can't give a child, she can't give her daughter what she doesn't have. So she's seeking, and that's why we're here. We are here to help address some of those issues and to share our stories. One mother to another as we come through this journey. Mothers teaching their daughters how to trust God. I'm Dr. Bessie, and I'm here at the round table with mothers and daughters around the world. And hopefully my co-host, Cynthia Oliver, will be on there. She's usually, she's steady, she's dependable, she's there, faithful. If you want to get in contact with me, you can reach me at drbessie1@gmail.com. drbessie1, B-E-S-S-I-E, the number one, at gmail.com. Also want to thank all the ambassadors, Frida Hunter, and all you guys that are on the radio. I can't name everybody, but, you know, they fit in some time around the round table. and co-host with me, and I just wanted to say thank you. And, of course, you are welcome to co-host with us at any time. This is nothing special for just us. We're just doing the work. Somebody got to do it, so here we are, you know. And you are more than welcome at any time. Email me, call me, say, you know what, I want to be on there. I want to be a part of the roundtable. I want to be a co-host. Hey, come on. This is not Dr. Bessie's show. This is God's show, and all are welcome. Come as you are. Don't worry about it if you can speak well or if you're going to make any sense. That's what I hear a lot of times. I want to say something, but I'm just so scared that I might say something and embarrass myself, or I might just, you know, that's the enemy trying to cut you off from glorifying God, from being a blessing to someone else. But now if you're talking about a television show, you can talk all day and all night about what they didn't do and what they did do and the have-nots and the have and the have-nots and the this and the that, and just talk. But when it comes down to being a testimony to someone in the kingdom, well, I'm just so afraid I might say the wrong thing. You're not afraid any other time. I'm not coming down on you, but come on. God is telling some people things to say, to share. Think about it. Pray on it. I was the world's worst when you're talking about public speaking. I mean, I remember the time when I was at the Urban League, and I'll tell the story right quick before we get into our session. I was at the Urban League, and I just gotten there, and they had a meeting, and they said, we're going to go out into the community, and we are going to share with the community what we do here at the Urban League. So I'm thinking, well, they're not going to ask me to go. I'm just here. I've just gotten the job. And, of course, they did. They assigned each of us that was from department heads to go to the churches. And, of course, I was assigned to the largest church. And so there was no one, you know, there's a lot of intellects, judges, lawyers, doctors, Indian chiefs, whatever. And I'm thinking, I know they're not asking me to do that. Now, you talk about some restless night, sweat running down my arm. I mean, I was so nervous I couldn't eat. I just, because I'd never done anything like that. I'd spoken in, you know, small groups, do some training, but I didn't think I was qualified to go in front of that group of people at that church to speak to them about anything. And I started praying. And then I heard that it was going to snow. And this has been a joke for a long time. And I said, Lord, please, let it snow so that we don't even go to church. And I'm telling you, it snows. We got 13 inches of snow. Well, by the time we was out of work for 3 days, by the time we got back to work, the ones that knew I had prayed that prayer, they said, well, we need you to pray again. You know, we need a few more days off. So every time they want a day off, they would ask me to pray. But I decided, you know what? I'm going to take control of this. And I went to Toastmasters. And after the third session in Toastmasters, it clicked. Because I asked God to help me. It clicked, and I didn't go back. I was good, and I've been speaking ever since. Do I get butterflies when I get in front of a crowd? Of course I do. You know, if you don't get butterflies, then something's wrong with you. You know, you get a little nervous, a little tense, but the minute you release yourself to the Holy Spirit, it just takes over, and all of a sudden you're peaceful, and it happens. That's my little story to someone out there that is either going to speak or nervous about speaking. It's okay. And I had to get past the fact that I don't pronounce every word correctly. I'm a Southern woman, and every once in a while a Southern dialogue will come through, and I'm okay with that. I'm an educated woman. You know, I have an undergrad, two masters, PhD, but I still don't pronounce every word correctly. I don't do everything, dot every I and cross every T correctly, and I'm okay with that. I'm a simple person. I say simple words, just like Jesus, make it simple, people will understand. I don't have to impress you, and you don't have to impress me. So when you can get to that and get comfortable with yourself, you allow the Lord to use you and to share those testimonies that you have, because someone needs to hear what you have to say. All right? Love you. God bless you. And we're going to move forward with that. Our platform for the show is, as is the mother, so is her daughter, Ezekiel 16:44. And that can be very powerful, I'm telling you. You know what you're doing, mother. You know who you are. God said in Ezekiel 16:44, as is the mother, so is the daughter. Now, that's the word. You can take that. You can use it any way you want to. But it is a checkup call for all of us, all of us. It certainly made me mindful of the things I said and do around my daughter, or just period, because if you're carrying that spirit around, your daughter will pick up on it because she's connected. Last week, our seminary and topic was on how to focus on your mother and daughter relationship. You know, to focus on the relationship means to study it, to relate to it, to get involved in it, to really look at it and say, you know what? These are some areas. I have some gray areas here, and I need to study and think about this. What I need to do to improve this relationship. See, a relationship can change just by you making a decision. I've had mothers and daughters come into my office and not speaking one, don't want to look at the other, got the back turned. Within 2 hours, the first session is always a two-hour session. And when I say that, I'm a Christian clinical psychologist. And 2 hours, they're looking at each other. The energy has changed simply because not something that Dr. Bessie did. I facilitate the thought, elevate their mind to think, what about this, by asking the question. And all of a sudden, they got those aha. And they realize, not that bad. We're missing a lot of fun, a lot of love, a lot of excitement, a lot of sharing. Because of one little thing. Once it's addressed, the question is answered, the apologies are made, the hugs are done, looking in the eyes, reconnecting the heart and the spirit, they walk out there in a whole different light. For the next 6 to 7 weeks, we're doing maintenance. We just really maintenance on that one particular thing and being taught, teaching them how to take that one situation and the activities, the instructions, the things that they did to get over that situation, apply it to their next situation. And that's how you just crack it down one situation at a time. So you really have to focus on your mother and daughter relationship, because if you don't, it will do whatever it wants to do. And you won't realize it until it's too late. And then you won't know what to do. You know, so why get to that point where you got to play catch up and dig and dig and dig and dig, when you can simply say, this is the type of lifestyle, this is the type of relationship I want with my daughter. You know that, and you can create that, and you can make that happen simply by making a decision. It's just like making a decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Your life changed. So that brings us to our stimulating topic this morning, mothers teaching their daughters how to trust God. As I stated a couple weeks ago, that love and trust are key elements to a healthy relationship. Love and trust, you know those words, love and trust. I also stated that we are made out of love because God is pure love and we are made in his image. So if he's pure love, don't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. We're pure love. But it's there again. Do you believe that? So I looked at love, the word love, and there's, you know, there's many definitions to any one word. But I decided to pick this one, and it says love is devoted to someone or something. It means that you are devoted to it. Now, that fit better with what I'm saying today or trying to teach today, is that you're devoted to something. You're devoted to someone. And when you're devoted to them, you have to trust them. I can't see myself being devoted to someone, yet I don't trust them. The two just cannot live in the same place. But devoted and love and trust can live in one spot. Because what? They're all kin to each other. I would go as far as to say they're sisters. I'll put it like that. Trust is to believe. You can't trust someone and don't believe in them. See, you have to believe in order to trust. And that's the same with God and anybody else. It works the same way. These are not new principles. These are the same old principles. I'm just, the Holy Spirit just had me write this down, and so I'm just letting it go. And I also said that we as mothers can't teach our daughters what we do not know. You can't. You can't. So mothers, sometimes I've had mothers say to me, I'm struggling with my daughter because I got unfinished business with my mother. Every time I would go and ask her a question, she would put me off. So now I really don't know. Because, you know, we can talk to other women and we can get their opinion. But nobody's opinion is as pure, as trusting as that mother's opinion to her child. When mother says it, I always tell people it's like Jesus speaking. Everybody loves their mother. I don't care what her activities are and her behavior. I don't care if you've never seen her before. You love your mother. You long for your mother. And I've heard individuals finding their children, mothers finding the daughters and daughters, finding their mothers and daughters, finding granddaughters, finding their grandmothers. Until you get there, there is a missing piece. There's a missing piece to your puzzle. And you can see everything else. But just imagine a whole puzzle that is completed. But there's one piece that's missing, and there's a dark spot. I know that for a fact myself. There's a dark spot. And you can't cover it up. You need that piece of that puzzle to make it complete. So we as mothers have to seek out to find what that piece is. That's why God said that the people, my people, perish because of the lack of knowledge. When most people hear those words, they immediately think of a school, a college when they hear knowledge. You know, God said you perish because of lack of knowledge, so I'm going to school, I'm going to educate myself. See, that's the first thing that, you know, basically come up because we think that's the knowledge, the school. Now, that's important, but it's not the only source for knowledge. It's not the highest source for knowledge. It's a general source for knowledge in a specific area of study. The knowledge that God is speaking of is his words. Now, he said, get knowledge, but more importantly, get an understanding. And you can only get that from him. Not in a textbook. You got the Bible. That's his word. That's him. When I say him, that's him. His words is who he is. He and his words are one. Now, I know many of you may say, but Dr. Bessie, I go to Pastor So-and-So Church, and I get my word from him. I don't need to do nothing else because my pastor can bring it. Well, your pastor may be a good teacher. I'm not saying that. We have some good teachers, and I listen to a lot of them. But what he's saying or what she's saying, all they're doing is confirming the words of God. They're confirming God's word to you, to the words that you should have read for yourself out of the Bible. That's why God said they will believe when they hear, and it takes a preacher to teach so that you could hear But you also have a responsibility in this equation. The preacher can't preach you into heaven. The preacher cannot use your authority to command that something operates in your life. He only has authority for himself. His job or her job is to teach the word and have that word confirmed with you because you study in the word, and somehow or another, it elevates your faith. You have to hear the word in order to believe the word. Now, when you read the word, you hear the word, you believe the word, and when you believe the word, something happens. All of a sudden, you have faith. And that faith will activate itself in your spirit, and nothing can stop that word from manifesting into your physical life. Now, that's the word. That's the truth. God is not a liar. He said, before my word go forward, what? Heaven and earth will pass away. So now that tells you right there, that's powerful. But you have authority, mothers. We have authority to speak as though it is. And when we speak it, we say it in such a way that we know that we know that we know that we know. You got to get to that. And it is finished. That's the thing that we call miracles. Mother, you use your power and your authority to will things into your life because you have the authority. It's just like when Jesus came through and he spoke to the fig tree and he wanted some figs, nice green healthy leaves, and he looked and there was no figs. He said, well, you up of no use. So he cursed it. It withered and died. But remember, Jesus said, these things I do, you can do also, mothers. You can do also and even greater things. So the greater things are here today. We are doing greater things. But sometimes when we are confronted with a situation, we forget about the power and authority that was bestowed upon us. And the authority that we were given, Jesus said, hey, you can use my name. You use my name, the earth will tremble. You use my name, the devil will flee. Use my name. Now, what we do here on earth, we'll see somebody. And I'm going to use Oprah because, you know, everybody can see the power, the authority, and they believe in Oprah, which is not bad. I'm not saying anything negative because she's working under the gifts that has been given to her. But I'm using her as an example. If Oprah said, just tell them that I told you to come, you go there just as proudly with your chest out, your head held high, and your shoulders back, and you would step into wherever it is and says, ma'am, do you have a ticket? No, I don't. Well, ma'am, it's only special invites. Well, Oprah told me to tell you that she sent me. Well, he's going to perk up. Oh, Oprah, you're going to perk up? And he said, well, come this way. Then you feel honored and pleased and just beside yourself because you're riding on her name. What greater name to ride on than Jesus? Go there. Jesus said for me to come. Have your head up, your chest back. Walk in authority. Because I come in the name of Jesus. No other name is greater. See? This is what we have to know, mothers. This is how we have to teach our children. Once we get this ourselves, then our daughters will believe. Now, once you have tried this process a couple of times and you begin to share your testimonies with your family, your friends,
don't forget to share those testimonies with your daughter. See, we got a habit, mother, of going to our girlfriends. Let's get you invite them out to lunch, and you'll spend a couple hours with your girlfriend for lunch, and you will testify to that girlfriend. But yet you won't do that with your daughter. Hey, girlfriends are fine. But I say bump the girlfriend. You ain't raising girlfriends. You're raising a daughter. You're raising a daughter that's going to raise your grandchildren, that's going to raise your great-grands and your great-great-grands. You have an allegiance to that daughter to make her the best that she can be. And the best that she can be is to be able to trust God and know that what God said is true and let every man be a liar. That's what we have to do as mothers. There's nothing else that we need to teach. Because once she see you operating in that, as is the mother, so is the daughter, Ezekiel 16:44. Then she will operate out of that same spirit. And that's what we call a teachable moment. That's a teachable moment. That's something that your daughter will see, will feel, will hear, and will believe. And she will remember that for the rest of her life. Whenever trouble comes, she will say, I know how to handle this because I saw my mother go through it. And my mother stood and my mother believed, and that's all I'm going to do. She sat me down. She went into details. She told me exactly what she did. When the enemy tried to crowd her mind, tried to scare her, she stood. These are the words she said. And all I'm going to do is repeat what she said because she's repeating what Jesus said and Jesus is repeating what God said. And that is the truth. And now, I trust God. That's how we teach our daughters. That's how we teach our daughters. She's not wondering if God's words work. She will say to her daughters, I know that I know that I know that God's words work. I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes. See, when somebody sees that with their own eyes, they see the manifestation of a healing. They see the manifestation of food on the table. They see the manifestation of the lights not being turned off when the light company says your lights will be turned off by 7 o'clock in the morning, and mother get on her knees and say, God, make a way. And this child is watching, and she see at 12 o'clock that night the lights are still on. I saw that. She will believe. She will believe. She knows that she has the power and authority to speak the word of God and believe that word and that his word is true. And like Jesus said, speak to the mountain and the mountain will be removed. The mountain can be anything that's in your life. The mountain can attack your children. The mountain can attack your finances. The mountain can attack your body. The mountain can attack your mind. But victory is yours. You have to believe that you know that you know. I have the power and authority. I am authorized. I have a MasterCard. And the Master said, use it in my name. I've already authorized you to use it. You can go anywhere, get anything you want in my name. And here's my MasterCard. We use a MasterCard. And we know that to put our money in the bank, you got your paycheck in there. You don't even think about it. You don't even go check. You just go and get the card and you just buy what you want. So just imagine in your mind that you have a MasterCard and it's signed from the love of Jesus. Anything you want, all things are possible. We start as mothers acting out of this spirit, demonstrating these words and thoughts and spirit and energy around our daughters, they are going to believe because they're just waiting on us. It's our job. It's our job to sit her down and just tell her the details. Every one of you have a mountain. If you just stop and think, of the things that you came through. We've come through some stuff, Mother, if you lived here on this earth for a while. We've come through some stuff. And when we look back at it, you say, oh, but Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Look where you brought me from. Look where you brought me from. But yet we still complaining. Yet we still walking around the mountain. Yet we still don't believe. When something happens, go back. Look at the record. Check it out. See how many times he failed you. And I am here to say he never failed you. He doesn't know no. All he knows is yes. But keep in mind, you have all that you need. It's there in the spiritual realm, waiting on you to use the MasterCard and make a purchase. Talking to your daughters, just remind them, we have a MasterCard, honey. It's better than the Black Card. There's no payment. We don't have to pay it back. All we got to do, slide that MasterCard, say the word, activate it with faith. You can have all that you even imagine. You will have the desires of your heart. All you got to do is believe. It's like clicking your heels 3 times, and all of a sudden you're in a whole new reality, a whole new world. It was there all the time. In Jesus' name. That's my take on it. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Mothers and daughters teaching their daughters how to trust God. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
I am fantastic. How are you doing?
Can you hear me okay? I'm good. I'm good. I'm determined. And then, you know, it's all in that don't know how to. And you're right. The minute you tell people that they need knowledge or get educated, their mind automatically goes to the classroom. I'm constantly telling students, mothers who are mothers, and gentlemen who are fathers, that you know the Bible is the ultimate book of knowledge. But you can, if you don't know how, you can choose, because God has given us much wisdom, those who authors to write books that lead people to Him, to His Word. And so when you don't know how, we don't have a reference point. And I was actually just sharing this story yesterday with a student. And the story was back in 2010, I had taken my son to school. Car worked fine, worked fine. I got back home and the car ran hot. But prior to this Friday morning, I had gone to the college. We were actually sharing a car at that time. The family was sharing a car. Our car had been repossessed, and we had bought a car out for $500, I think it was. And on a Saturday morning, well, let me take it back first. Al got home that Friday, and I told him the car ran hot, and my husband, he can take an engine apart and put it back together, blase, blase. But anyway, he did a couple of things, and the car still ran hot. He got on the phone. The guy told him it sounds like the engine was, the block was cracked. And so that Saturday morning, I woke up as a mother, and I said, you know what? We're going to get a car. And my husband was saying, first of all, we don't have any money. The car just got repossessed a year or so ago. We don't have no, where the credit is bad. And I say, come on in here, Ryan and Daddy. My oldest son had been off to college already. And I said, we're going to pray. But if I had not read that story of a mother who, that Tuesday, what happened, what gave me the faith to know that God can do anything with any situation, even the car situation. But I had read a story where a woman had car stalled in the middle of traffic. She said she sat there and she's tried and she tried. The car wouldn't start. And she said one more time, she said, I prayed. And I said, God, if I could just get it started to get to a mechanic. So the car started right after she prayed. And she got to the mechanic, and the guy asked her, how did she get there? And she said, well, what do you mean, how did I get there? I drove. He said, impossible. Your cable is snapped. Reading that story gave me the faith to know that God can do anything. So that Saturday morning, I called my husband and my son in, and I said, we're going to pray, and we're going to go get a car. He said, first of all, the car won't even make it to the dealership. And they're not going to give us any money for that car. Dr. Fletcher, I want you to know that my husband and I got in that car. We drove to Ford dealership right here on Pines. That car never ran hot until we hit the lot. And then we got $100 for that car and drove off in a brand new car. Tell me God can't do it. But I had to read that story that Tuesday in order to have the faith for that Saturday.
And you know, I know that. I lived through that with you. I remember that.
And then we get to the lot, and I'm walking the lot, and I'm like, okay, Daddy, which one is ours? Which one is ours? And so he took us to this car, and I said, this is it, babe, this is it. And so how do I know that that was it? We're inside doing the paperwork. A crazy thunderstorm came up. It struck the hood of that car. The spot was there on that car from that strike, but it never hit the engine.
Mm-hmm.
All of this transpired in several hours of that Saturday morning.
I remember
that.
But
see, if I had not read the story, got the knowledge or the wisdom to know that God is able to do anything in any situation, I would not have had the faith to believe that God would do this that Saturday morning. This is just days later. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about belief. Fear not, only believe. And I am constantly telling my son, fear not, only believe.
Yep.
And
yep.
I called the other day when I got the news about Keith, my son, and then those who have been listening, they know a little bit of Keith's story. And he went to the doctor to have his PET scan last Tuesday. And the PET scan, because, you know, he knows his body. He knows his body, and he said, Mom, it's built like a resistance in my lung. Something is pushing back. So they pushed up his PET scan that he was supposed to have in June, and sure enough, the cancer is back.
Mm.
And when he came to the school to tell me on Tuesday, and again, this is a Tuesday, that was Tuesday he had the PET scan. On Thursday, I was with the students, so he couldn't tell me. So I called, and find out what was going on. I had saw the Band-Aid, and I knew he didn't have a doctor's appointment that day. He was taking a personal day. So I knew something was up. And so he calls me, and I called him back because I was with a student when he came, and he said, Mom, I was right. It is something, the cancer is back. I'm going to have to do this, this, and this. And I got silent on the phone because as a mother, I am tempted to be concerned or worried, if you will. But he said, Mom,
yeah,
we got to do what you taught me to do. We got to have faith.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So when he talks to me and tells me, remind me of these things, I can't do nothing but have faith.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do nothing but have faith. And he asked me the other night, he said, Mom, you think I'm going to be all right? So it's not for me to think. What do you think? And God's will be done. God is able, because he's able to do anything, I'm able to believe him in anything for any situation. I know God is able. I know he's
yeah.
able. And so do I know anything? Absolutely not. But I choose to believe
Amen.
That God is able. And because he's able, it ain't even for me to think.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime I'm tempted to fear, I choose faith over fear because they both, as you stated, cannot dwell in the same space because that faith is the light that you talked about and the fear is the darkness. And I just choose not to go to a dark place. I'm choosing to stay in the light because in the light is healing. In the light is possibility. The possibility is there that he will be totally healed.
Amen. I agree with
that. And so God is able, and because he's able, I'm able to trust him. That's it. And that's my take, I'm sticking with it.
That's a good take to take, I'm telling you. I thought about, after you called me, I thought about, first met you guys and Keith and all that, and I thought, you know, that little young man was just coming out of high school, and or probably was still in high school, I'm trying to think. And to me, he's like my son, because you and I are so close, and you know, we eat, drink, break bread together, and of course, Keith. And so I just went on my knees and put him before God and lift him up, and I said, Lord, you know, the enemy would not even try to mess with our baby if you didn't have such great works for him to do. And he's such a good kid. I call him a kid. You know, just such a good kid.
Yes.
I mean, just lovable. Mannable, smart, I can't even describe it. He's just such a good kid. And I'm saying, Lord, I know you got good works for him to do. And I texted him, emailed him, and I went step by step with some instruction that God placed on my heart. I hope he got that. And
he did. He got it.
And God is going to work through that. I know that. That's a faith builder. And I was thinking then, I said, Lord, thank you. Just give me something that will help elevate his faith, because he doesn't need people around him going, ooh, because I started to go there too now. I'm going to be honest. I found myself kind of getting a little sad. And then I thought, no, I shook my head. I said, no, you don't, Bessie. No, you don't. You're not,
wants you to focus on the negative aspects of this. I will not focus on the negative aspect. Keith is doing well. He's moving about. He's working. He's in school. And you know what? God is able. God has kept him the first time. He'll keep him the second time, because he can. He just can.
That's just to really see if you really trust him. See, it's like Job. You know what I mean? Curse him. Curse God and move on. Even Job's wife was like, you just need to give up on your God. See, the challenge is, do you really, really trust him?
He called
really
her a crazy woman. He called her,
yeah.
Were you crazy?
Yeah.
Give up what?
Yeah. So what I was looking at, and I was telling somebody this week when I was talking, I said, we cannot continue to help Satan fight God. And that's what we do. Anytime we get depressed, anytime we get worried, anytime we speak in words other than the words that God's spoken, we are helping Satan fight God. You see, we cannot do that, because what we do when we do that, we actually quench the Holy Spirit. We shut the Holy Spirit down, because the Holy Spirit can't work when you're negative. The Holy Spirit can't talk to you, can't lead you, can't guide you.
Because
when I went through the other day on Keith, you can't hear. Because I went through this with Keith on my mind the other day, and I shook my head and I said, no. His mother's standing, I'm standing, he's standing, his father, everybody's standing around him. No, I would not help you, brother. You're not getting any help. Not brother, take that away. But you are not getting any help from me. And I started rejoicing and laughing and seeing him doing wonderful things and went on about my business. So with all that being said, when I say mothers and daughters, just for the audience, I want you to always know we're talking about the entire family. Whatever we say about mothers and daughters, just apply it to your mother and son, father and son, father and daughter, because the same principles work. We get to teach our children how to trust God. They don't know. We have to teach them. So that's our tech. And I mean, it just came in my spirit this morning. I said, Lord, thank you. Because I was laying there, okay, Lord, what are we talking about today? And I laid there for a moment. Here it comes. Mothers teach your children, your daughter, how to trust. And I said, how to trust? Said, yeah.
You got to, because that's all we got. My sister called me last night, Dr. Fletcher, and she was tempted to say he needs a second opinion, blah, blah, blah. I'm just trusting God. God led him to Dr. Greenberg, and we've trusted him up to this point. We're just going to continue. We ain't going to start jumping through hoops. Well,
the thing about it is,
God right where he is.
It's not about the doctor. The doctor don't have no healing powers. See, people
yeah.
get confused. I'm going to go to this doctor. I'm going to go to that doctor. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. The doctor don't have healing powers.
Yeah.
God works through a doctor if he chooses. If you, I remember Pastor Dollar saying, and this story kind of comes back in my mind. He said he was having problems with his throat. And that's why I was telling Keith, look at some of the people that have used the space and stood on it. See, that's how you believe. I sent him to Kenneth Hagin. You know, look at Kenneth Hagin, who was 16 and they said he was going to die. But what he did, he read the word of God and got an enlightenment, and he's like, you saying that I can live? Is that what you're saying? And he believed, and he lived to 80-some years old. Pastor Dollar said he was, when they said that he had problems with his throat, a polyp, you know, he panicked, and then all of a sudden he found himself researching, looking on the internet, getting second opinion, and he found himself on a gurney going into the operating room. As he rolled through that door, he said, Lord, why am I on this gurney going in an operation room? And God said, because what? You started researching. You started checking opinions. See, when you get into that, then you start doing you. But I'm with you. Now you go on, and I'm with you. So that's how God worked through that doctor, because he is there with us even to the pits of hell. So that means no matter what we do, no matter where we fall, come short, when we realize, I'm with you.
And you know, last week when I had this procedure, the last thing I remember, I was like, God, I'm in your hands. And my doctor had told me he was going to hold my hand when I go into this procedure. And the last thing I remember, they rolled me in, they were playing the music. I'm like, yeah, this will get it done. And the last thing I uttered was, God, my life is in your hand. My doctor stood there, he held my hand, and next thing I knew, I woke up in recovery. God is able. I know he was with me because I said to my father, my life is in your hands. And we have to teach our children, Dr. Fletcher, that our lives is in his hands.
There you go. There ain't nothing else.
Ain't what? You better say it. Ain't nothing else.
Yeah. And I did that same thing myself. You know, I had the stuff on my face, and I thought in my mind, I kept saying, I need an antibiotic. And then the other mind, no, you just need to trust God. You need to trust God. And then again, I need an antibiotic. And finally, I said, I need an antibiotic. I said, I need an antibiotic and some cream for my face. And then I thought, Lord, am I not trusting you? No, if you need to take the antibiotic, Bessie, take the antibiotic. I'm in that too. In all things, I am. And you know what? I took a couple of them and I just left it. You know, so we sometimes need a prop to get us to a faith. Everybody's not where they're supposed to be or where they should be. But we are on this journey, and I just thank God for faith and trust in his word and the people that we surround ourselves with and mothers and daughters out there. Be a support system for another mother and daughter. Be there to be the, as you said, we should be our brother's keeper. I'm supposed to help you with the word when you look like you're not up and your faith is low. You help me. That's our job here. Is to help each other. So mothers and daughters out there, I challenge you, don't just say anything negative. Don't just say what you think. Go and seek God. Look up in the word. Just look up if it's healing. Look up a healing. Get a passage and lift people up. You know, get a passage and lift someone up in their finances. You know, we are responsible, but we can't use our words to do it. It's got to be the words of God. That's where the power is. That's my take on it. I love you guys. Our time is out. And you all have a blessed and prosperous week. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's our show.
You guys have a good week. God bless you.